Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's go ahead and get that up. If you're following along at home, I do read out of the New King James Version. Excuse me. New King James Version. Praise the name of the Lord. Our young people completed last week. We didn't give you much information on it, but they completed a little, I think most of them were able to go to a conference that was held at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut. And our young people were blessed. And I saw a little video clip of that service, of one of those services. And it was just an amazing time of ministry. And I was just thrilled that we're able to send our young people to quality ministry that is just, I mean, just amazing. So praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter, I said 11, but I want you to go to 12. Sorry about that. Thank you, Lord. All right. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols whenever you were led, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities. But it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
Amen.
So when I first came over, when I first got among Pentecostals, charismatics, and that word can be used interchangeably, all right, when I first got over, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't grow up in a church that had those manifestations. And you've heard part of my testimony before that when I would ask questions as a young Christian, people would say, oh, these were the two responses I got in my church. And later on, I understood why I got both of these responses. Because I found out later that there were some people in the church that I grew up in that actually grew up in Pentecostal charismatic churches, but then later on in life found themselves in a church that was not expressive in those things. And so that's why they would say things like, oh, you have to be very close to God to ever see those or ever experience those or ever be used in those gifts. You have to be really, really like super Christian, in other words. That's how my 15-year-old brain took it. You've got to be a super Christian who makes no mistakes ever in order for that to happen. And somehow in my mind, you had to be a professional minister in order for these gifts to happen. Thankfully, that's not the case, and that's not what the word is telling us here. It says he distributes those gifts as he wills. Now say the word power gifts.
Power gifts.
And say power tools.
Power tools.
See, we're using those terms interchangeably. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are power to accomplish the assignment. We've been talking a lot about assignments. God has assignments for you and for me to accomplish, to get his will done on planet Earth. It's not always up to just the obvious ones. It's not up to the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, right? The evangelist. Oh, those are special people, so that's how those gifts work. No, it's his body expressed and his body coming together. The Holy Spirit will use us even in our imperfections, if you will. And so I'm thankful that I got that answer some of the time, that, oh, you had to be close to God. Because what it did for me, I was a young Christian, very young. I wanted to get closer to God. I'm like, so tell me how I do that, right? Well, you got to read the word and you got to pray. Well, I would pray and my prayer would last about 30 seconds. I didn't know what else to pray. And then I would read and then I would get a little bored. Come on. I'm just telling you the truth. Is that all right? So then I started coming across these scriptures about speaking in tongues. I came across scriptures about laying hands on the sick. I came across scriptures about, supernatural gifts of miracles, signs, wonders, because I was reading the New Testament. And now some of the people of the church that I went to, they said, those all passed away when the last apostle died. They don't work anymore. In other words, the gifts of the Spirit would only last as long as there was no written word of God. And as soon as there was a written word of God, all of those gifts ceased to exist. And that they no longer were necessary. And so they would use that word necessary in the church. And so I as a 15-year-old, I was not necessarily the sharpest pencil in the drawer, but I was curious. And I was definitely hungry for the things of God. So I began to ask more and more questions. See, questions are okay. You should ask questions. You should understand these things a little bit more. And I think what we've made, an oversight in many churches today that do believe in the gifts of the Spirit is that we gloss over them and we assume everybody just believes in them or everybody knows about them or everybody's experienced them. And the truth is that many Pentecostal churches today or charismatic churches today, you can walk in, walk out, and not ever know that they're a Spirit-filled Pentecostal-type church. Now, the flip side is true, too. You can go to some churches, and that's all you see. That's the emphasis. And I've always endeavored that at this church, we would go right down the middle of the road.
Amen.
That we would keep the Word of God central, that the gifts of the Spirit would be allowed full operation, but that the emphasis was not on the gifts of the Spirit, but the emphasis was on the Word of God, because the Word of God will always point us to Jesus and keep us solid and grounded. But the Spirit of God will give us excitement, life, and bring alive that word in our midst. And so that's how I've endeavored to lead this church from the beginning. We've always believed in the supernatural power of God. Now, I must confess to you, there are times that we haven't allowed those gifts to have as much free reign as they ought. And so one of the things that I noticed here, it says that the Spirit works. Go back to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. So tongues doesn't stand alone by itself. And nor does the gifts of healing stand alone by itself. And sometimes people they'll get really excited if God uses them in one of those arenas. And they'll think, well, I have the gift of healing. Well, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have the gift of healing. The Holy Spirit has the gift of healing. He chose to use you in that arena or in that manifestation of himself. Because again, we read right there, it says, it's the same Spirit, right? Works all these things, distributing to each one as who wills? He wills, right? It's as the Holy Spirit wills. Now, we can get in ditches on both sides of the road here. Because some folks, they feel like that if the gifts of the Spirit are going to manifest, that they have no choice in the matter whatsoever. That that he just came down and boom, people got healed, and he came down and grabbed somebody's tongue and started making it speak in tongues. There is that element, we talked about it several weeks ago, yielding to the Holy Spirit. When you learn to hear God's voice, the promptings on the inside, then you'll know. And sometimes you'll make a mistake. I remember we would go to Bible study, and you've heard me talk about the Bible study on Saturday nights. We affectionately called it Saturday Night Live. And and it was the real Saturday Night Live. The real Saturday Night Live, because we would see God manifest himself in our midst. We actually encountered the Holy Spirit. We were hungry for the things of God. And now let's go back up. Let's go back up to the first verse, verse 1 of that same chapter. We're just kind of hanging out in this chapter. Is that all right with you today? All right. So it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, I'm finding more and more that even people who have been Christians for many years, they don't have an understanding. I know in our society we use the word ignorant. It can actually be a an insult. And so I'm not wanting to insult, but there's not a knowledge of it. There's not an experiential knowledge of it. And there's not a knowledge that's based in the Word of God. And so sometimes we can just kind of get confused, and rather than dig a little deeper and find out a little bit more about these things, we just kind of put them on the shelf and say, well, maybe that's just not for me. And I just want to encourage you to be like a good Berean. The Apostle Paul said this about the Berean church. When he was ministering among the Bereans, he said the Bereans were actually more noble or wiser than the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians, say that fast three times. The Thessalonians on the island of Thessaloniki, and my friend Pastor Spiros Vulgaros actually has a church that he started on Thessaloniki, the actual Greek island, and he's pastoring that church. And so, you know, he says the Bereans, the Apostle Paul says, the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. Why were they more noble? Because they searched the scriptures to see if what the Apostle Paul was saying is true. Now, in our modern society, you can Google anything. You can Google anything. And you will get 1,001 responses. And you can Google your name, and you will get good reviews of you, and you'll get bad reviews of you. If you have any kind of social media, there's so much information out there. You can Google spiritual gifts, and you're going to get people who believe in it. You're going to people who don't believe in it. You're going to get people who think that anybody who believes in it is a devil person. You're going to see people, even Christians, that tear down other believers who believe in the spiritual gifts. I find it interesting that church history has the spiritual gifts literally speckled out throughout every single century. There have been a manifestation of the spiritual gifts in some way, shape, or fashion all the way up until the present day. All the way up until the present day. Now, in the 1980s, you've heard me, actually 70s, late 70s, the Holy Spirit began to move in a lot of churches, and it was done through ministers who got a hold of the things of God, ministers who got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking of Father Dennis Bennett, who was an Episcopalian minister about 15 to 20 miles from here in Darien, Connecticut. He wrote a book called 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning is the time that the Holy Spirit got a hold of his life, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. His church became a catalyst for that part of Connecticut, for many believers experiencing the power of God, the presence of God, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it even got him to a point where eventually, I believe the last I heard, the Episcopalian church actually defrocked him and kicked him out because he was believing the word of God and he was not standing for some of the more progressive ideas that were coming into the church. But that church still was was major player in that part of Connecticut. Now, we also had the Full Gospel Businessmen Association, where if you talk to Sister Valley, she was very involved in that with her husband, her late husband, going to Full Gospel Businessmen meetings where ministers, not ministers, but businessmen would come together, they would worship, and a lot of times a businessman would give his testimony and talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, how it saved his marriage, how it saved his children, put his life back together. Then he would go back to his church, and many times they'd go back to a church that didn't believe in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so what would happen is they would find other outlets in these Full Gospel meetings. Brother Kenneth Hagin, who I went to his school, so did Pastor Christine, so did the Jacksons, that particular school ended up becoming, actually started in 1973. They just thought they were going to be training, maybe 50 or 100 people for the ministry. They never dreamed that it would turn into a worldwide phenomenon with a ministerial association. Brother Hagin was known to actually go and minister and be invited to speak at these Full Gospel meetings. That's where he got his start in a lot of ways. He had pastored churches. Any church that Brother Hagin ever pastored was never more than 50 people. And he pastored 3 churches in his time before he went on the road traveling. Now, I'm telling you all this for a reason. Power gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit, I believe are a part of the tools that the church needs to do the job, the assignment that we've been given. And we can't ignore them. Now, just as I had the array of tools set up here on Father's Day, you remember that? Just as I had all those tools up here, it's important that the tools are plugged into the power. And it's important that you don't just need one tool to do a job. You might need many different tools. Just like the way God uses speakers in ministry, you have pastors who care for one flock. You have evangelists who come in, and sometimes we jokingly say evangelists come in, they blow in, blow up, and blow out. They tend to be the more gregarious type of people. They're very demonstrative. God uses those kind of people. Remember Cliff Graham? Anybody know Brother Cliff Graham?
Oh, yeah.
He's an evangelist. He's not a pastor. You would not want him pastoring you. Your ears would hurt after a while. Brother Ed Elliott, evangelist. He's used to, what is he always? Brother Ed, and we support Brother Ed on a regular basis. Brother Ed, what does he do? He's always talking about the love of God. Why? Because he wants the lost to come in contact with the love of God. So he's going to always minister on that. And when he's ministering to churches, he's going to teach you how to love people. But the first thing he's going to do is he's going to tell you how much God loves you. Because one of the problems in the church today is we have the church members bringing so much guilt and shame with them, they don't understand how much God loves them. And so if we don't understand how much God loves us, how can we show that love to others? And so the grace of God and the love of God are a big part of his ministry. I'm teaching you a little bit here that I believe will help some of you with possibly some of the questions you might have had about the move of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back to our scripture, because we want to stay scripturally sound, and we want to look at everything from the Word of God. He says to you in verse 3, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 4, he says there are diversities of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I made reference, I believe it was last week or the week before, perhaps, I said that there are gifts that say something. There are gifts that actually do something. And there are gifts that reveal something. God reveals something. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge are words that actually reveal. Okay? Now you say, what's an example of that? Well, a word of wisdom might be just, you know, sometimes it can be so subtle, you don't even know it's a word of wisdom unless somebody points it out to you. But through a time of prayer, somebody may speak up and say something to you personally. I am not talking about, you know, calling the psychic network and asking people to speak to your dead relative. I am not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody's praying with you about something, and something comes up in their heart to say, you know, have you ever considered? And then they'll give you something. They might not even know that the Holy Spirit is using them that way. It's just something subtle. The word of wisdom. Have you ever considered, checking into, and it might be a situation they know you're dealing with. They're praying with you about something. That has happened. The reason why we are here in this building once again was because a young man who is not a part of our church right now, but he was a part of our church back for several years. How many remember Selvin?
Sure.
Right? Young man, not a professional minister. The reason why I'm telling you this, I'm trying to illustrate and connect the dots for you. Selvin, young man, talented musician, would volunteer and play with us. We were over at the Knights of Columbus. We were frustrated. It was not an easy place to have ministry. In fact, some people are no longer with us. Right? It's just not an easy place. And so Selvin came up to me at the end of 2019. And he said, Pastor, do you remember your old church on Radio Circle in the office building? I said, yes. He said, my family goes to that church and they don't meet on Sunday morning. Maybe you could call the pastor and let him know you're looking for a place. Maybe he would let you come and you could pay some rent and they don't use it Sunday morning. I submit to you that was a word of wisdom. Amen. That was revealed by God and given. Now, was there a big fanfare? Was there a big spark in the sky? Was there a booming voice from heaven? No. Because the still small voice and the subtle ways that God leads are so important for us to listen to and pay attention to. And so Selvin says that. He gives me a phone number. I make the contact. It was actually not the end of 2019, it's 2020. He gives me the phone number around the end of January of 2020. You guys are tracking where we're going with this. I make contact. I come back here. I meet in one of these offices with Apostle Calendris and Pastor Jimmy. And we begin to talk. And they said, we want you to come. Now, I want you to hear the heart of God. We want you to come. And they said, we're a Spanish-speaking church. And I said, yes, I'm aware. And he said, we're believing for revival in America. And we don't care how it happens.
Amen.
We want your church blessed. We want your church to have a home. If we can share what we have, we'll share it. That was their heart. So we made the arrangement. We started making those contacts. We drew up an agreement, because I believe in agreements, drew up an agreement. I submitted to him what I felt like was a reasonable, fair price to use this space. And he said, okay, meet me in Stamford on Sunday night. Well, that Sunday night, I met him and Apostle Calindris at their central church. I was ushered into his office. As soon as I, you know, got into Apostle Calindris' office, he said, let's pray. He doesn't speak a lot of English, but what English he does speak, he speaks well. And he said, let's pray. And he got on his knees, and pretty much, I mean, if I wasn't going to get on my knees, he was going to drag me down with him. And he began speaking with other tongues and praying in other tongues. And the room began to be filled with the Spirit of God, and other men were around. We must have prayed for a good 30 or 40 minutes. And he said, praise God, we are so excited for Westchester Family Church. Then they painted the walls because they wanted guests were coming to their house. And they painted the walls for us, knowing we would be coming. And then we came. We moved in. 3 weeks later, everything shuts down. Meanwhile, you've heard Pastor Christine tell this part of the story. The Knights of Columbus building is sold during the pandemic. We would not have had a home. Do you understand how God works? So why am I saying that? Because sometimes the gifts of the Spirit reveal something. Sometimes the gifts of the Spirit are the word of knowledge. You say, what's the difference between a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge is how God will supernaturally give you wisdom and insight into something that you had no way of knowing. You had no way of knowing. There have been many times when I've prayed for total strangers and something will come up on the inside of me. I'll yield to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell me that they're dealing with this, 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 or this. A couple years ago, not even that long ago, when we were in the Czech Republic, I was praying for a gentleman, and it just came up in me, listen, don't wait any longer, get married. That's a word of knowledge. I said, don't wait any longer, get married. And he looked at me, and he said, and then through the interpreter, this is what I said. I said, don't wait any longer. You need to get married. He was living with somebody. Now listen. He began to cry because he knew there was no way I would have known that. Prayed with him. He said, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to get this right before God. He brought up his girlfriend. We prayed for her. About 2 weeks later, Tom Lilienthal, our missionary to the Czech Republic, Tom and Irina, sends me a photograph on the steps of the town hall of a bride and groom. And he said, I want you to know they got married. They acted on the word. So God will supernaturally give you words of knowledge about things. Sometimes it's, I have a word of knowledge, or somebody might have a word of knowledge that there's you have a pain in your neck, or somebody's dealing with a health issue. At that moment, God is wanting to not only do the word of knowledge, not only wanting to manifest the word of knowledge, but he's also wanting to heal the person. God doesn't reveal things for us just so that we can sit there and suffer. He reveals things so that there can be either an adjustment, a change in that circumstance, a change of behavior, a change of action. You know, there have been many different times in my life. Now, we're not to base our life on somebody giving us a personal prophecy, all right? If somebody comes up to you and says, thus saith the Lord, Avril, I think you're supposed to quit your job, and I think you're supposed to, you and John are supposed to, with Navy, move to Trinidad. All right? If somebody gives you a word like that, and you had no indication that you would ever do anything like that, that's, I'm not saying that's the enemy. It's somebody who might be trying to operate in that word of prophecy, or maybe they're baby in that arena. Maybe they heard something. Maybe they heard something that just pertained to, you know, to Averill and John and Nivi. And they just put their own interpretation on it. God uses our personality. Okay? So he uses our personality, and sometimes we can miss it. That's why you don't base your life on those kind of things, but you do base your life on the Word. The Word's not going to fail you. The Word is quick. It's powerful. So when somebody does give you one of those words that doesn't make any sense to you, don't immediately say, well, they didn't hear from God. No, don't get an attitude. They meant well. They were trying to hear God and be obedient. That takes guts to do that, let me tell you. But if they missed it, just put it on the shelf. Just not thinking about it anymore. Just, okay, they meant well, praise God, and move on down the road. You know, that's where people can get tripped up. They can get tripped up in these things, and they can say, well, see, that doesn't work, or that's fake. No, it's we're still imperfect human beings. Say the power gifts are helping to get the job done, right? They're there for our, it's so that we can be actually built up. Notice what it says in verse 6. And there are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But, look at that verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Notice what it says there. For the profit of all. In other words, the gifts of the Spirit are to build up the body of Christ so that the body is strengthened, so that more of God's people are connected to Him. They're more sensitive to Him. You know, and if you've been around the moves of the Spirit, sometimes people can get strange. It's true. My mentor, Dr. Horace Ward, yeah, I mean, this man's a well-educated man. He was the president of the West Coast Bible College in Fresno, California. He was a pastor of a church for many years. He was part of the council of an entire denomination. I worked for him for 5 years. And I remember one day when we were talking about the things of the Spirit, because he grew up Pentecostal. He was the son of a missionary born in Brazil. And he said to me, he said, you know, he said, I've never wanted wildfire in my church. And I go, what do you mean wildfire? He goes, when people are just like crazy, they're just crazy with things of the Spirit. He says, unfortunately, because he's a very staid man, and oh, I wish you could meet him. He's in the grandstands of heaven cheering us on right now. He was a very tall, lean, articulate, well-educated man, and could speak multiple languages, a PhD in psychology and theology. This guy, he was brilliant. And he used to say, unfortunately, with my personality, I think I have the gift of wet blanket. He said, I've never wanted wildfire. He says, but I'm always, he says, I just long for the Spirit of God to move in our midst. And he said, I never wanted wildfire. Never wanted wildfire. But I long for the Spirit of God to move in our midst. He was also one of the founding members of the Pentecostal Theologians Society, which is a worldwide society. He was one of the founding members. It's well known in academia as the Pentecostal think tank, if you will. Crossing denominational lines and building bridges. That's what he was about. And that's why I just so am thankful for his influence in my life, because he was so just head and shoulders intellectually and academically above anything that I would ever achieve in my life. And I just so appreciate somebody who's like that. And I say that all to you because it's the Spirit is given to profit with all. And then he says in verse 8, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, the other the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another with the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. That means there's more than one way to get somebody healed. Sometimes it's laying on of hands, and you can get them healed. Now, we read in Mark chapter 16, it says, "And believers shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." That's what it says. Now, as a teenage young man, I took that verse to heart. I believed God, and if I had a friend that was sick, I'm in high school, I would say, "Can I lay hands on you?" They'd look at me like I was crazy. They did. Everybody thought I was nuts. You should have heard the senior class prophecies about me. And you know, senior class prophecies are always tongue-in-cheek, and they're a little bit sarcastic. And so I remember they got up at this breakfast, and we had this nice brunch on the island of Palm Beach. And we were actually at the Flagler Museum in this tea room. And we're on the island of Palm Beach, and we're having this brunch, and a whole senior class is there, and they start giving the senior class prophecy. They said, "Doug Mitchell, 20 years from now, is the head of the Church of Satan." Now, initially, I was really angry. Hurt, angry, mad. But then I started thinking about it. What did Jesus say when they persecute you? Rejoice! Because they knew that wasn't me. That's why they said it. They said it just to kind of dig at me a little bit and see what my reaction was. So I kept my mouth shut at the breakfast, right? At the brunch. But 10 years later, they're doing the class reunion. Who did they call to sit at the head table? Moi. With Pastor Christine. And at that point, I told my wife, I said, "Baby, let's buy you a nice dress and let's get you gussied up." Because I want to show how good God is. Because everybody looked at me as the Jesus freak. They didn't know that the power of God working on the inside of me could get me to college when people said I'd never go to college. Could not only get me to college, but also get me to get a different degree at Rhema. So I ended up having a 4.0 at Rhema. I graduate from college with a theological degree and a minor in missions. They asked me to do and I'm bragging on God, not me. I want you to know that. They asked me to do the prayer for the departed class loved ones, or the departed classmates. Would you say a prayer? Would you acknowledge them? Would you lead us in prayer and sit at the head table? The class president, who was also a quarterback, Mr. Popularity. When I was in ninth grade, he was one of my friends, but he broke friendship with me and went in the popular realm, as some kids do. And he goes in the popular realm. He is at the dinner, the 10-year reunion. He sees me with Pastor Christine at the head table before it starts. He's already been at the cocktail hour way too long. And he looks up at me, because the table was actually on a pedestal. He's on the floor, and he looks up at me, and he's pretty tall. Looks up at me and goes, "What the blank are you doing there?" As if I should never be there. And I said, "I serve a big God, and I've been asked to be here." And he said, "Oh." And he stormed off. I never saw him again until, see, God is so good. I never saw him again until I'm in Haiti with a youth missions trip. I am in a chicken restaurant that was supposed to be sort of like KFC. Not KFC. I won't say any more. But I'm ordering for my entire group. And I hear that same voice, this time sober. And he says, "Doug Mitchell, what the blank are you doing here?" And I said, "God sent me here. What are you doing here?" He's barefoot. He says, "I have business here. I said, oh, okay. And then he says, but can I talk to you? I said, absolutely. Let's talk. Let's talk. So I excused myself, delegated the chicken meal to the rest of the leaders, went outside, started to talk. He starts to cry. One of his best friends had been murdered in the States. Starts to cry. I begin to minister to him. I wish I could tell you I led him to the Lord right then and there, but I didn't. All I did was plant seeds. Plant seeds and love on him. Several months go by again. This time I'm in the West Palm Beach Auditorium, and we have a giant gathering of Christians, churches from all different denominations, and we are there to hear the evangelist James Robinson. How many of you remember James Robinson? You know, he's a well-known evangelist. He was there at the West Palm Beach Auditorium, and 35 churches, large churches, all through South Florida, had brought him in and literally almost filled the entire auditorium, and they were told, bring people who might not know the Lord because he's an evangelist. So all these churches cooperated, and there we are building bridges with Baptists and Methodists, and I mean building bridges. It's Jesus, isn't it? It's his body. It's his body. And I'm down front, and I get a chance to meet several of the key people because our church was one of the lead churches to organize this event. And there's that voice again. This time he doesn't curse at me. He goes, Doug Mitchell, what are you doing here? And I turned around, and there he is. He's got a Bible big enough to choke a horse under his arm. And he said, I figured I couldn't beat you. I needed to join you. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit are real. They're real. And they're designed to draw people to Jesus. Amen? We're going to keep going on some of this. I think we are needing to really slow down a little bit. Talk about how they work. How does that happen? It's that still small voice. But Pastor, what if I miss it? You probably will. I have. And sometimes when I'm praying for somebody and God will, I'll sense something about them. Again, that word of knowledge or that word of wisdom. And I'll say, listen, I kind of sense this. If that bears witness with you, praise God, then act on it. But if it doesn't, just put it aside. I'm an imperfect human being. Jesus is perfect, and the Holy Spirit's gift is perfect. Sometimes we put our interpretation on the move of God. We think God's saying one thing when he's really saying another. Last week I told you the story, and I meant to have the picture up. I wanted to show you the pictures. We'll bring them next week. TBN, Trinity Broadcasting, driving by, coming up in my heart. What is that? Listening to the still small voice. Learning to listen to the Holy Spirit is more important than probably any other skill that you could ever learn and develop in prayer, is to listen. Prayer is a two-way conversation. It's not one way. Can you imagine if I'm going to have dinner with my wife at the end of a long day at my retail job, and I sit down and I just tell her all the things that need to be done. Would you please do this? Would you please do that? And help me with this, and help me with that, and help me with this, and help me with that. And, oh, by the way, I had a really, really bad day, a no good, rotten, terrible day. And I really need your help. And I eat the meal and I don't say thank you. And I turn around and I leave the room without ever having her have a chance to speak back. Do you know that's how we treat prayer sometimes? Every one of us have done it. But that still small voice wants to talk back, wants to lead you into what? The scripture. He'll give you scriptures that maybe you didn't even know you knew. So I didn't know I knew that scripture. And then you'll look up the reference. there it is. The Holy Spirit knows, and He wants to speak to you. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, God, that it has the power to change us. Lord, the power gifts are there to make a difference. The power gifts are there to help us to get the job done, to minister in power, Father, that we would have words of power, not just intellectual mumbo-jumbo to try to win an argument, but God, that we would truly be led of the Spirit, knowing when to speak, when to act, when to sense what You're doing. Father, I thank You that You've taught us today, that You continue to teach us as a church, as believers, Lord, of like precious faith. Thank You for empowering Your people to use the gifts of the Spirit as You will in our lives, out there on the street, in the workplace, in the home. God, You want to speak. You want to minister Your great grace through us and to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've never asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to do so. And it's real simple. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if that's you, we want to give you that opportunity. And as I said, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning let Him call the shots. No more you doing your thing, but He's doing His thing. Lordship is not a bad word. It is, God, I'm giving You control. I'm giving You control. I'm checking in with You, and I'm letting You guide me. And so if that's you right now, we're just going to pray a simple prayer, and we're just going to follow this scriptural way to come into a relationship with Christ. Just pray with me, and we're just all going to pray that prayer, even if we've known the Lord for a while, just to be used to that in case somebody comes among us or somebody's watching and doesn't know the Lord Jesus, then they'll come to know Him. Just say, Father God, I come before You in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that You raised Him from the dead. I thank You, Father, for His forgiveness, and I receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. And I call Jesus my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed that prayer as a way of coming back to the Lord, I want you to message us, let us know through the Facebook Messenger app so we can send you some things, help you find a good church maybe where you are. The internet reaches all over the world, and we have friends all over the world through connections and network and being people of like precious faith. We want to get you hooked up with a good church, and we'd like to help you out with that. Let's stand to our feet right now, and let's just confess and have our sending out verse go with us today. Praise God. Psalm 121, and again, it is such a pleasure to have Miss Navi and Rathna and Hannah with us today. Praise God. It is awesome to see you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. And the Lord shall preserve your yoke. From all evil, He shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8.